My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, July 10th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to shows. Give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month. You get hours and hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 586. I have two special return guests that you know and love, Rod and Karen Morrow from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. And they came, sat down with me. They didn't come to my place in Jersey, they're in North Carolina, but we sat down via Zoom, via the technology, new age technology. We were able, guys, I don't know if you understand this. Through new age technology, we were able to have a conversation via our computers and talk about the new Taika Waititi MCU film, Thor, Love and Thunder. We did a review, we talked about it, and we had a good time. And I'm going to share that conversation that I had with them, with you, right now. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Rod and Karen and me talking Thor, Love and Thunder. Oh man, Rod and Karen, so great to have you here to talk about Thor, Love and Thunder. As always, when we do a movie review, I like to read a blurb, whether it be from Google, or this time we'll just do Letterboxd, since Letterboxd is open. So Thor, Love and Thunder, directed by Taika Waititi. The one is not the only. After his retirement is interrupted by Gore the God Butcher, a galactic killer who seeks the extinction of the gods, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Korg, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster, who now inexplicably wields Mjolnir as the mighty Thor. Together, they embark upon a harrowing cosmic adventure to uncover the mystery of the God Butcher's vengeance and stop him before it's too late. Karen, What are your overall thoughts on this film, and what did you think of? What did you like about it?
I enjoyed this film. I enjoyed this film a lot. It was funny, which is for me why I was all in. It was over the top. I loved the music, the action. Thor had became one of my favorite characters, you know, as far as like following the Disney Plus series, well, just the Disney group altogether. I think Ragnarok, actually the thing that I was like, oh, Chris Hemsworth can act, you know, because I knew he could act, but that's when I was like, oh, he actually has some acting chops.
Right.
And so it made me go, oh, he's more than just a pretty face type of thing, because it's very, very hard to pull comedy off. Like, all jokes aside, like, people think comedy is easy, but it's not, because you have to understand that you're the butt of the joke. You have to kind of work your way around it. Like, it is not a easy thing to do, and he pulls it off, and I am here for it.
Yeah. How about you, Rod?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought once I saw Chris Hemsworth in Ghostbusters, the all-women version, I was like, okay, this dude got range. Like, yeah. It's not just leading man, action star guy. Yeah. And Taika Waititi is such a great director. He's made so many great movies. The Hunt for Wilder People is the one that really like put me on to him, where I was like, oh, this nigga on something different. Of course, Jojo Rabbit, everybody knows that one now. But when he got Ragnarok, I was like, okay, I know he's about to fucking light this shit up. And Ragnarok was so good. And it was, to me, the first movie that really proved that Marvel was willing to give directors the keys and mm-hmm. be like, go do your thing. You know, like, we trust you. Like, here's the things we need you to set up. But other than that, go make the movie the style you want to make. And so I was immediately in for this movie when it got announced, because I was glad Taika was coming back. And I thought the movie was really good. I think Ragnarok was better for me, but that's not really a big knock on this movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that movie was so fucking good that something coming in second to that is still like really good. So
yeah, I rewatched Ragnarok, and that was the one where it was like, oh shit. Because can you guys put the first two into perspective for me? Because the first one, I believe, is the only Marvel film. It's pop, and that one in the first Captain America, the first Thor, first Captain America, I believe, are the only two that I did not see in the theater. I remember actually seeing the second one in the theater the night that we met in person for the first time, mm-hmm. when we hung out in Durham.
Yeah, and, Fonte.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I was just kind of like, when I saw the second one, I was just a Thor of the Dark, where I was like, all right. I was like, okay.
Yeah. So,
speak on it a little for the both of you. Speak on that.
Well, I know the first one was, to me, the first one was okay. But it was building towards that Avengers thing. So, you know, we were in from Iron Man 1. Mm-hmm. That's just the kind of nerds we are.
We've seen them all in the theaters.
So we were like, okay, it looks like they might be trying to build something here, because I think the end of Iron Man is when they go, we need to do the Avenger protocol. You got Nick Fury as Sam Jackson. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. Are they about to do something? And so we went and saw that first Thor, and Hemsworth was really good in that. Mm. Like, as a concept in a movie, it's kind of a little bit boring-ish to me, because the color palette they chose for a lot of the scenes was this drab dark shit, which I'm just, you know, wasn't my thing. And then they wanted to like almost humanize him and bring him down to make it more realistic, instead of leaning into all the Asgard type of shit, because they wanted to have this at that time. The initiative was to have movies that centered on Earth. So they didn't want to have him as a spacefaring Viking with an eye patch type of Thor that was in the comic books. So they kind of like dulled it down, but they had great casting. I mean, Tom Hiddleston was basically fucking the second main character in all those movies. Mm-hmm. And then the Thor, the Dark World, I thought was a bit of a letdown. Mostly because it repeated a lot of the same things from Thor 1. It just meandered in the third act. The villain wasn't that great to me. And then the first Thor, the villain wasn't that great either. So and they sidelined Natalie Portman. They did the, like, you know, fridged her or whatever. And so that didn't hit that hard for me. And I know there's some behind the scenes shit with that, where like that was supposed to be the first movie they wanted a woman to direct, but then like, and Natalie Portman was really pulling for that, but then something happened where the woman didn't end up directing it. So like, it was a lot of shit behind the scenes. You kind of feel it. So those are how I felt about the first two movies. Mm-hmm.
For me, the first movie was okay. The second one, it's the second one was a building. It was building, but the way it was presented, it wasn't presented in a good way, in my opinion. The second one, I haven't seen it in a while, but I can tell you how I initially felt at that time. It was very boring. And like Roger said, with a lot of the grays and the greens and like all the darkness, it didn't pop. And so a lot of times with that, you're in a big dark theater, the screen is dark, everything's dark and black, and it was almost like a drag to get through it. And now Ragnarok actually made the first two matter, and it tied it up in a beautiful bow. Mm. So it made it count. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like, that was kind of the reward for it.
Well, also like Endgame, I think, where Thor goes back and sees his mother and stuff like that. Like then they kind of retcon too, to like, oh yeah, that is right. He lost his fucking mom in the second movie. Third movie, Ragnarok, he loses his dad. Like in Endgame, he loses his brother. Like this brother has been through a lot of loss. You know what I'm saying? Brother Thor been through a lot of losses, you know, from the oligarchs and the plutocrats and whatnot.
And I think for me, the first one and the second one, like I said, they were okay. There wasn't anything to write home about. I think now if I go back and watch them, my opinion might be completely different. But just consuming it for the first time and not really knowing where the storyline was going, that's how I felt at the time.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Like, just I remember just being like, they were okay. But then you got to kind of see the charm of Hemsworth in Ragnarok. Oh, this guy's really funny. This guy, like Karen said, not just a pretty face. The color palette, especially not just the rainbows and the neons and all that stuff. When it comes to the, what do you call it? The Jotunheim passageway or whatever. Like it was beautiful. Especially one of my favorite scenes is Valkyrie remembering losing her comrades. Mm-hmm. That beautiful, I don't know what you call that color palette, but it was beautiful, and it just gave it more charm. Because touching on what you said when we were talking about, you know, what we've been watching in the segment that's going to be on Patreon, it's one of those things where it's like, maybe these heroes are boring. And that's why we see the influx of all these bad guys, or what about them? What's going on with them? Because these heroes are just so stoic and boring, and you can just kind of see the charm. So I agree with you guys. I liked I think Ragnarok is a better movie, but it's not taken away from, just to me, what I thought was just a very entertaining Love and Thunder, which was just like, you're building upon what you did in Ragnarok, and it's kind of hard to.
Well, also, like, he had more toys to play with in Ragnarok, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically have a whole B plot that's the Hulk saga for when he was taken off world. You have Loki heavy in that movie, as like the villain / extra protagonist, and those are two things you don't have access to now, because Loki has his own TV series on Marvel, like, so he's like quote unquote dead. And then the last thing you had in that movie was Hela as just a vivacious villain that was
stole the show.
Just literally just killed it. Cate Blanchett was so amazing as Hela. And while I am a fan of Christian Bale to the highest extent, I think he's one of the greatest actors of our time. They didn't give him as much to work with, in my opinion. And so as a villain, his lack of seeing him on screen hurt him in this movie. And I do wonder if, you know, I rarely say this, but I do wonder if this movie was about 10 minutes longer, if it's a better film. Because the 10 minutes I'm talking about would be like, we see Gore the God Butcher butchering some gods. Like, yeah, we needed that throughout the whole movie. Like, we basically see him kill that one guy at the beginning, which is right, almost by accident. Then we see dead gods in on the screen somewhere. Lady yeah, Sif has got her arm cut off. That wasn't a scene in the movie. Like, why didn't y'all just show us him fucking up that god, Lady Sif trying to stop him, him cutting her fucking arm off, and being like, you know, tell Thor I'm coming for his ass or whatever, you know, yeah, and then disappear in the shadows. Like, that would have made the movie a little better to me, because I felt like he was underutilized in this movie.
And it wouldn't be surprising if it was, and yeah, they just edited it out, because I cannot see them not shooting that.
Yeah.
And then somebody making a decision to say no.
Yeah, it's such a weird decision. It's, you just, if there's one knock on the movie to me, that's it. Is because, you know, that's Christian gonna be an acting ass actor.
Yeah, he was my favorite part of the whole movie. Like,
yeah, but if you could just see him take down a few gods, I think the last battle goes different. Like the yes, like that last battle, you're more scared about the stakes if you see him like take out a couple motherfuckers on
yeah,
like
yeah,
when you like, oh hey, buddy got hands, watch out Thor, like this, like it didn't feel that way. And even when he came to Asgard on Earth and kidnapped the kids, like that fight was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it didn't give me the it didn't give me the vibe of like, this motherfucker kills guys, he's in y'all's thing, y'all better run or whatever.
Yes, yeah, because thinking about Hela, you were scared when she was on screen. Like, you was like, yeah, oh yeah, shit, it's about to go down.
And they show you her backstory of her conquering shit with Odin and mm-hmm, all, like they give you such a backstory with her and Odin being the one that's scared of her and shit. Like, hey, yeah, hey, your sister yeah, on the way, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it was a different vibe as, and I think we just, if you want to take this movie to the next level, I think that's one of the things I would change, is giving Gore 5 minutes, even. Like, I'm not talking about 20, 30 minutes,
just a montage.
5 minutes of just him fucking shit up. Like, not like just he landed on this planet. Like, matter of fact, the first planet they were on with the Guardians of the Galaxy, they said he killed their god, and that's why the people took over the temple.
Yeah.
Why didn't we see that? You know what I mean?
How did this emaciated Kratos do that? You know,
yeah, like, I wanted to see that. Yeah. You know,
that's
like, show
point,
me why Thor should be scared. Even showing him cutting off Lady Sif's arm would have been amazing.
Yeah,
you know, but for some reason I chose not to do that. The other thing I think that was another choice I would have liked to see is, and I get it, like, it's, you know, it's misdirection, but I kind of think having the Hulk in the whole movie for Ragnarok,
mm-hmm,
put it over the top. I think having Guardians for just the first 20 minutes, it makes you feel, for me, it made me feel like less was happening at the end than more.
Right.
Whereas I kind of would have liked to see, if you're going to have that crossover, I would have liked to see it closer to the end.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, even if it was just them showing up at the end and doing some slapsticky stuff with the kids and fighting, yes, and fighting the shadow monsters or something. I think that would have been cool. Now, look, I don't work for Kevin Feige. He might have said, listen, there's a reason they can't be in the third act, is because something they're doing in their own movie, which will be coming soon. But those are the two things I thought about.
It's just, that's a great point. Yeah, because it's just like, I love that scene where they go, that sequence where they go to that planet where he tricks them,
mm-hmm,
and he's like, give me the axe. And it's just, scenery is being chewed.
Yeah, the black and white.
Yes, mm-hmm,
the color change.
That,
yes,
that color yeah, palette. Like Karen,
he's
brought
such
up,
a great actor.
Yeah, yeah, and it was just, it was like, yeah, there's a sense of dread and danger, and he's formidable, and he got them babies,
mm-hmm,
and like it's almost like you give us that cold open where it's like, okay, his daughter's dead. Now he's just gonna, he doesn't give a shit about anything anymore. But it's like, I think that's an extremely valid point where more Christian Bale, give us more of him wreaking havoc so that we see that he's a more formidable opponent,
yes,
and that Thor can't beat him by himself.
Because the thing about him, when he's on the screen, he steals the show.
Like, yeah,
and that's guaranteed. So I do agree with Roderick. If we would have had a 3 to 5 minute montage would have made a world for the difference. So at like I said, at the end, you'd have been like, oh, okay. And it almost would have been more justified.
Mm-hmm.
That change at the
and
end.
And I think Karen makes it, you make a great point about the fact that he was so good on the screen that extra 5 minutes of stuff could be in the like director's cut or whatever. Like they could have filmed that, because like that's what was missing to me about him is he needed an extra like 2 minutes of speechifying.
Yes.
Needed him looking in like a dead, holding up a dead god's head or something, mm-hmm. or giving a speech before killing the planet's god and telling the people like, I freed you, they don't care about us or something. We just needed something like that, because I think it just raises the stakes. And in making a very economical film as far as like 2 hours and
yeah, because it was just two. This is 114 minutes and it clocked in just under 2 hours. And
yeah,
and I was looking at Doctor Strange and that was 126. And that was a Wanda movie, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And that's over. Well, that's 2 hours and 6 minutes. So,
yeah.
You know, basically like them cutting back on the minutes or whatever. Definitely, I appreciate it and understand it in this time. Yeah. But, very rarely do I say this, but like an extra 5 or 10 minutes in this film. And I think you are talking about Ragnarok level. Like it is just as good as opposed to like, okay, Ragnarok was a 5 and this is a 4.5.
Yes. And also the thing is Marvel has set such a high standard.
Right.
To people go, okay, 215, 230, cool. Most people would not have complained for you to give them an extra 15 minutes of things. I really do think, like I said, they shot a lot of scenes and somebody hit the floor and they just decided to chop all that off just to get underneath a certain time.
Cause I don't think as moviegoers for an event movie we don't care about time on these, right?
Nah.
Mm-mm. That's what I say. Somebody put a time limit on it when before what I was saying about him doing speeches, we would have gotten that if they would have had 2.5 or 2:15.
Yeah. Cause it was some stuff they could have cut. Like I think some of that stuff in New Asgard was like, okay, I get the cameos and stuff like that, but it's like, if you want to see that he got them babies and you see that he's killing these gods, then
like I don't want to get too negative, so just it was definitely very fun, mm-hmm. very watchable. The comedy was hitting. I did enjoy revisiting some of these characters. Natalie Portman as Jane was such a dope way to bring that character back. I know it's from the comics. I did read those books, but like the way they did and her hero arc was like Taika did that. You know what I mean? Like I was very impressed by that. And I especially like in a meta sense, it was cool to see her revisit the character after she had some issues with the way that Thor: The Dark World went, and pushing for there to be a woman director, and that didn't really happen. And then she basically was like, I'm done with these movies. And to not only bring Natalie Portman back, but to have her be a Thor and have her go out the way she did with the like very heroic, like, and basically being the center focus of the film, like their love being the thing that saved, you know, the universe in this thing. It was actually really fun and really, really inspired writing.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Karen? What did you think of Natalie Portman?
I enjoyed her. I think that they did her justice. It was one of those things where I was one of the people, I'm not going to lie, when she was like, I'm not coming back, I was like, okay, the plug and play. Let's go, bitch. I'm not even going to lie. But I am really glad that they brought her back because it was well-deserved. And I think that they actually tied her story up really nicely. I don't think this is the end of her.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate them bringing her back because I'm like, oh, one monkey don't stop the show. Like, we keep this train moving. This is Marvel.
I guess that bag was undeniable. She couldn't deny that bag. I mean...
Yeah.
You got kids.
I mean, also, like, I bet after seeing Ragnarok, she was like, oh, I would be a part of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be part of that dark, drab, noir, black and white shit with all that. Yeah. Like,
and people criticize her a lot because they.
But like, if I'm gonna be part of this like 80s hair metal, you know, like rock and roll neon shit. Yeah. Like, and she looked like she was having the time of her life with the jokes and stuff. Because like in the first couple films where it was like funny-ish, these films have been decidedly comedies. And to see her get to like do some of these like jokes and some of the silly, stupid shit that Taika does, man, that was so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't really get to see her do anything fun. Like when I think of her, I think of like Black Swan. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's got a couple of rom-coms in her credits, but for the most part, it's just been this kind of intense stuff.
Yeah, because even in Star Wars and things like that, it was funny.
Is Natalie Portman Star Wars?
Yeah,
she was Palpatine.
Oh, yeah, Padme. Yeah,
Padme.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not Palpatine. Padme.
I just had to make sure I wouldn't get my white women confused.
V for Vendetta.
Yeah, because Taika tried to get in the next Star Wars.
Yeah,
because
Star Wars isn't funny. Yeah. Like, at least her character's not very funny. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, Taika tried to get in. It was like, hey, you can't bring it into the world. She already in the you world. She died.
He forgot. He's like, all right, young, my bad.
Right. Damn, y'all take it serious, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't have a lookalike.
Yeah. I've always liked Natalie Portman. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Like I love the one of my favorite parts of it was other than Christian Bale was just the Mjolnir and what's the axe's name?
Oh, Stormbringer. Yes. That was so fun. That's
its own character.
That's a true Taika thing.
Yeah.
Like that type of silliness is something where it's like it's perfect for Thor, it's perfect for Hemsworth, but that's a true Taika moment of him like talking to this fucking axe and his hammer. Like jilted lovers was so fucking smart and so funny. Literally worked every time they did it.
Yes.
It reminds me of technology where it's like, you're just kind of like, you get a new thing and your old thing tries to act up like your new laptop. Your old one gets mad and tries to crap out on you.
Dog, the way that motherfucking, the way they panned over a couple of times and Stormbringer was literally floating, looking at his ass.
Yes!
Like, that was just such great comedic timing. And Hemsworth just, enough can't be said about the range of this dude and how he's just, he's, like I was saying this the other day, you realize Hemsworth's played about 6 versions of Thor. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's had under different directors, different plot lines, different styles. He's delivered on. It's never been his fault. Like I've never watched a Thor movie that I didn't like and went, "Well, fucking Chris Hemsworth, right? He fucked up the movie." Like I always walked away like he understood the assignment. Like whether it was that motherfucking Asgardian Shakespeare pathos of brother Loki, how can he would give you that shit? Whether it was like this high comedy shit when it was him grieving. He's always delivered, man. What a great leading man.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Spider-Head?
I saw it. Yeah.
How did you like it? I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't like it, but it's not his fault. Like it's it was a little too, it was one of those things where like the concept got too simplified. Mm. So a typical Netflix movie where they wrote 2/3 of a movie and then sold it. And then the third act, they were like, fuck everything we said, right? Right? We don't really need to follow that up.
I'll have to have to check it out. Oh, man.
Got a great cast. Got Miles Teller
Journey's
in it,
right?
Journey Smollett.
Okay.
They got a great great cast, but just wasn't hidden for me.
Got you. Was there anything else that you guys did? I gave it like 3 stars on Letterboxd. I thought it was solid. I think one of the things that now that you guys bring it out there, it is, and I thought the same way, just that lack of Christian Bale and you guys shone a light on it where it's just like, give me 2 more minutes of a speech.
That's all we need, bro. Yeah. If Karen just brought up such a great, it probably is on the cutting room floor because there's moments in this movie that don't make sense to not show you. It doesn't make sense that he killed that one guy and cut Lady Sif's arm off and we didn't see it.
Yeah.
They must have filmed that.
And you, and especially the way you said that, it almost the first god looks like an accident.
Yeah, like he, like they, if he's the god butcher, he need to butcher some gods, dog. We need, yeah, we needed a little bit more, dog. And but yeah, yeah. Another thing that did work though, motherfucking Russell as
Russell Crowe, yeah,
Russell Crowe as motherfucking Zeus.
Yes, eating up the screen.
Hey, he was so good. And then that post-credit scenes where they got my man from Ted Lasso to be Hercules. Perfect casting. Like, definitely looking forward to what Taika could do with that character if they let him run it back on Thor 5. Like, I'll totally be in for that. So, I mean, listen, there's a lot of good here. I didn't want to harp too hard on the negatives.
Sure.
But, you know, there's a reason Chris gave it a 3. There's a reason we're not giving it a 5. Mm-hmm. But, man, so fun. Definitely worth watching.
It is.
In the theater. Unless you're J.L. Covan. If you didn't like Ragnarok, which he hated.
Don't waste your time.
Don't see this movie because we don't want to hear, you know. Mm-hmm. We get it. You don't like fun things.
Yeah. How about you, Karen?
Yeah, I love it. I give it a 4 out of 5. Mm. It was very enjoyable. It was very fun. It's like now this is my expectation of Thor, if that makes sense, to be over the top. And I think just him and the Guardians of the Galaxy, all jokes aside, is worth the price of admission. I love when they get those two groups together. They're just so much fun. They bounce off each other so well. And I think it's just a fun ride. It's bright, colorful, impossible white man. He was doing it all, and I am here for it.
Yeah. What do we know what the next one is? So we all like this movie. Mm-hmm. We all liked it.
I think the next movie they have coming out is either Black Panther or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. It's probably not until next year, right?
I think
isn't Guardians of the Galaxy like a Christmas special or something?
It's a Christmas special. I don't know.
I don't know. Let me see if I can find something. Like with like MCU, like MCU release schedule.
Yeah.
Release, I don't know.
Phase 4.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm seeing right now is some Disney Plus stuff. I am Groot. Yeah. Disney Short. She-Hulk. Attorney at Law.
Oh, November, Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther. Yeah, that's all I thought. Yeah. Okay, and then November Guardians 20? Of the Galaxy.
Okay, it's 2023. Okay.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is 2023. They got a holiday special coming to Disney Plus, but.
Okay, that's what I was hearing.
Who knows what that means? Oh, and Ant-Man and Wasp is February next year.
Let's go. Okay,
Black History Month. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I like the God. You know, did any. Rod, I don't think you play God of War, Karen, but. Did you notice like God of War references? Like what's the Taika's characters, the rock guy?
Mm-hmm.
When they cut it, when he lost his body, and it kind of reminded me of that character on God of War and all that. Like you were talking about.
I'm sure that was some different. I mean, they even said it was inspired by that.
Okay.
So,
they did.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. They directly in an interview was like, yeah, there was this character. They used a lot of his backstory and stuff inspired from God of War and Kratos.
Yeah. Because I think it just like that game, and we said earlier, you know, video games are you got to consider them some of the best pieces of media when it comes to storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really go on a journey with these characters, and it's not surprising that they did that, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. This has been a joy, as always.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us.
Always fun.
And Karen made her triumphant return back on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
I got to get on my producer for not booking you more, which is me. I just want to thank you guys so much for doing this. And plug your wares. Plug your show.
Oh, man. Check out the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Find us everywhere that you get podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're on YouTube as well now. So just put in the Black Guy Who Tips. Follow us. Watch some episodes. Like us. All that stuff. And we appreciate y'all for listening to us.
We
do.
And
thank you, Chris, for having us.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And we'll talk to you next time. Take it easy.